Welcome, fellow Last Places, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where we talk about comic books, movies, and TV shows. And on today's episode, we will be talking about episode 4 of Ring of Powers, the Amazon Prime TV show about Lord of the Rings, essentially. As always, guys, there's going to be spoilers ahead. So if you don't like spoilers, go ahead and pause it here now before we get into it. If you like the content, please like, share, subscribe, do all that good stuff. Leave us reviews on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from, YouTube also. So we're all going to, like I said, I'm here again to talk about my thoughts on episode 4 of Ring of Power, which, you know, I've been really enjoying. The show is, again, I will come in here every week talking about how beautiful this show is, because honestly, it's just one of the best shows that I've seen, like from a visual standpoint, just because this legit looks like a movie every single time that we turn it on. But episode 4 is titled The Great Wave, which starts off with the Queen having a vision, which we don't know about, but essentially there is a great wave that is happening or destined to happen. At least we don't know that she's dreaming at the time. Obviously the scene was absolutely gorgeous with the tree and everything, being a sign from Vala, just how that whole scene takes place and just how the water looks. And like, again, anything visual that comes with this show is usually just 100% gold. So seeing that was absolutely just gorgeous, just the way that the, you know, even though it was the Numenor being taken out, so in her vision. So this kind of leads us to believe why there's some real issue with her and Galadriel, because we know that there's a lot going on between those two, and why she won't just give her the army, or, you know, do exactly, or not bind the elves, but reignite their partnership, essentially. So we can see that she's obviously dealing with that. Also, we haven't seen the father, the king, who's no one has seen yet, which does get presented later on in the episode. But basically, we know that she's going through a bunch of stuff on her own side there. So we can tell that we don't know exactly why she's been pretty, you know, stern, but this episode basically lets us know exactly what is happening with Queen Regent Meryl. So we find out a lot of good information, right? So the vision thing is pretty much like it's pretty much like the seeing stones used by the wizards, which we find out later on that after Galadriel, who is in prison, gets broken out, but they basically come, she gets sent out after a very heated debate with Meryl about being able to, you know, that she needs help. Like, and if you're not going to help me, I'm going to go ask your father for help. So she gets thrown into the prison. Later on in the episode, we see that she has another, Galadriel has another conversation with Hallbrand, basically saying, look, you know how to handle yourself on a battlefield, but when it comes to like the politics, you're still having issues with. And he pretty much gives her a good bit of advice about trying to adapt to the scenario that she's in, and making it seem what is the thing that Queen Meryl is actually afraid of, right? So being equipped with that information, we later on go on to a piece of dialogue. And I think I'm just going to do this more of like where the characters are at, opposed to like the timing of where the episode is, because I feel like since we jump back and forth, I don't want to jump all, like, you know, forward and back in the episode. We're just going to go through it. And like, you guys know, I'm going to pretty much freeform as I speak, because I always have a lot to say. So basically, after that bit of information is given, the guards try to bring her back so that they could have that conversation. And basically, Galadriel goes to where the king is, saying that I'll just speak to him directly if I cannot, if you won't allow me the audience. So when that happens, basically, we already know the queen is already there. She's basically like, look, I knew you were going to come here. Like, Galandriel's like, how did you know I was going to be there? But like, obviously, word spreads fast. If you're going to break out of the prison, I sent you to prison because you wanted to speak to my father. So where else would you have gone? So we see the state of the king. He's not in good shape, which is why we know the added stress for the queen there, because he's essentially just like, you know, he's on his deathbed. Things are not looking good. And Galandriel didn't know that. And now that she knows, you do see the empathy in her and saying like, you know, it is like your father is dying, and that's not something you want to see. But basically, they need to, she wants to get more information, and then she asks her, oh, okay, like, why is this, like, you know, why do we need to be, let's stop hiding information from each other. So Mariel basically tells her what's going on, why she doesn't want her here. They see the Seeing Stone that I talked about earlier. Galandriel sees what the vision is with the flood, with the great wave, and basically is saying like, you know, this could be also happening if you plan on sending me away. So she doesn't say that exactly, but you know, that's what she's hinting at. And that's the thing with visions, right? Visions are one of those things where you just don't know exactly how to predict what the vision is going to be, because anything could move the vision, right? Like if you're going through the same path, it could be that vision. If you change something within the past, like how do you know changing, not changing what you're doing keeps it the same? So that's why using visions is always a good thing, because you can always switch up what the vision actually means. And we then find out later exactly what's going on there when we see Galandriel going to be sent back to Middle Earth. She's going to be sent back without. We see that the leaves, just like in the flowers, just like in the vision, start to flourish while she's leaving. So they take that as a sign as, oh, maybe she shouldn't be leaving, and maybe we do need to help her out. And ultimately, the way that that story section ends is with them, with the queen saying, basically, we are going to escort you, and getting the whole pretty much region, not region, but whole island of Numenor saying that they're down to go too. So I thought that was a good way to have that relationship between them, because they're two very strong characters, right? Like, obviously, Galandriel is, you know, is elven. She's, you know, been prestiged in battle, stuff like that. The queen is wanting to hold her own because she's seeing these visions, but she also wants to be strong. So this is something that's just going to happen, that when you have two strong characters between them. And then we had, you know, Elendil just basically in between them, just trying to like make sure nothing really goes down. So seeing them come together at the end there and just being like, okay, look, this is going to work. We need to make this work, because it seems like to prevent what's going on, we need you to be a part of this. So seeing them working that out, especially for episode 4, now that we're halfway through, it's really going to drive on where we're going next, because if I'm not mistaken, this is 8 episodes. So seeing that should be cool. Then we got Orendir. When we left off, remember, he was getting sent to Adar by the orcs. And again, I know I talked about the quality, but man, if those orcs look fantastic. I just cannot get over how well the orcs' designs are. And we found out this throughout this part of the episode and later on with Theo, where they just look so realistic. And I think it's just the perfect mix of CGI and practical art that you can get, because they just look real. They feel like they're legit real beings in the show. And I'm glad that they got that time for them to be taken care of, just as far as their aesthetics comes. And we see Adar, he actually shows up with he has elven ears. So he is an elf. He basically sees, you know, Orendir says, this is after the orc that was hurt. Adar actually kills him just to like spare him because he knows he probably won't be able to save him from whatever stab wounds he has. So yeah, he then talks to Orendir, tells him, you know, your people may live if you forsake all claims to these lands and swear like to him. So basically him being, you know, Sauron. So I thought that was, that whole conversation that they had was cool. I also loved the fact when Adar was like, you guys been lied to so long that it's in the trees and, you know, in the roots, like, and the only way to clean that up is to purge this whole land essentially. And just being, just the articulation and then the speaking in this show always makes me happy, because they're basically just saying, look, I need to find a, he's like, we have to wipe this world clean, which is most villains' story arcs, right? Is like, we need to rebuild this. But just hearing it in that time frame in that English, it's so cool to me. So they have that conversation. He tells Orendir, you have to, I need you to go send them a message, right? And Adar says, I need to send him a message. You know, you need to send a message to that tower, basically letting them know something. We don't hear what he says, but we'll get back to Arendor, but that's where his story leaves off there. We also have the king and prince, Durin, who are, you know, Elrond is still there. He is, you know, they're building the towers. And they're probably my favorite. I just love the dwarves. Again, models are perfect. But also their conversations, right? Elrond and Durin are just that, you know, dwarf elf, collabo that just works all the time, right? It's just their chemistry for whatever reason, no matter what time frame it is, it works. And, they're really good friends, and you can tell, right? They're really good friends in that they care for each other, even though obviously Elrond has different motives. He has more to it. I don't think that you can be both, right? You can have a ulterior motive and still really confide in someone as a friend. And I feel that way with him and Doran at the moment, right? Sorry, Alexa's going off. All right, there may be a weird hiccup, but that was because I needed Alexa to do her routine. So besides that, we can tell that there's a genuine friendship there, and just the way that the elves and dwarves, like their whole chemistry and vibe, whether they're arguing, whether they're friends, it's always a really good thing to see inside of the Lord of the Rings world. Cause I think it's always done properly. Like it's always done cool. It's always done to where you can have laughter like you can here. And like I said, I just feel like even though there's more motives there, it's still something that he cares for very deeply. Elrond is asking, I'm going to say her name wrong, but asking Disa, I think, yeah, Disa, basically, where is he? Like, where's he at? What's going on? And she basically is lying up front, but being really sneaky about it. And just the way that she has the conversation and just the charm of the character herself is so wonderful, because you're just like, okay, well, there's no way that she would lie. You know, she had her story exactly where she needed it to be. But then Elrond wants to do a little bit more investigating. He finds a secret tunnel, essentially, where we do see Durin there is mining. Well, not mining, but is keeping guards of a new mineral or ore that they found. And, of course, you know, it's the mithril. So they basically, you could see Elrond's face when he sees the mithril, saying like, okay, this is something big. And then again, to show that gratitude of friendship, Durin does give him a piece to keep. But that doesn't mean everything ended off well. We see that the mountains basically collapse, and the dwarves that were in there stayed in there. Prince Durin tries to save them, or attempt to make a save. We find out later that all of them were saved and they're all alive. So, and we heard that beautiful song by Disa, which the music, again, fantastic. Everything, like I said, for as far as just the show, is just they do everything so cool. And I think that alone, just the song where she, and you could see the rocks moving and stuff, and it has so much tradition and things like that. Just having like how every characters and all the races inside of the Lord of the Rings has this, like, you know, different sense of culture and things like that. So all of that was really cool. You know, we see later on after the whole collapse that Disa is thankful for Elrond, because if he didn't go off sneaking around, he probably would have, you know, Durin would have probably been in that cave and it probably would have collapsed on him also. So she was really grateful for that. And again, their friendship, where they basically were talking about like the first time they met, just awesome. And them having different stories and just laughing about like how basically, you know, oh, you had a bow. No, I had a sword. Again, their relationship is great. And as someone who's read the stuff, I don't want to say what, you know, future, so you guys could just enjoy what's going to go on with that. But as far as their relationship, it's perfect in my eyes. Like, it's just a fun, nice conversation between them. And every time they're on screen, I'm having a good time. So that, again, was a really cool scene for them. And then we go to, then we find out more about what's going on with Theo and his mother, basically seeing what's going on there, where basically the area that they're in, they're hungry, right? Because they moved out of their village, so all the farming stuff is back at home, and obviously they're running out of food. It looks like they're trying to send people out on a hunt. Theo comes out with the idea of saying we should send people during the day to go get some food when the orcs are not there. It should be an in and out mission. And we all know once we hear it's going to be an in and out mission, it just means it's not going to be an in and out mission, right? So Theo ends up going behind his mom's back because he doesn't like the plan and he feels like he's being useless. And that's something, you know, especially as a younger kid, a younger boy, just being around there saying like, you know, your mom is being in this position of power and you're feeling like you're not helping her at all. And just because she's also wanting to be protective. So it's a hard balance for both characters there, because you don't know exactly how to maneuver that, because you want to be strong for the village so people can be like, you're not just here because your mom's in a position of power. So I understand where Theo is coming from with that, right? Just knowing that you want to be more useful in a situation that you're in, so that you can help out, right? So basically he comes up with the plan. His mom doesn't want to keep him, wants to keep him safe. Theo ends up going, hey, I'm going to go anyway, and let's go ahead and see if I can find out. Theo ends up going anywhere, and then he's like, cool, let me go, you know, to this place. Let me get this information for you. Like, let me get this information. Get this food. I'm sorry, information. Let me get this food, and then, you know, I'll come back as a hero or be portrayed that way. So I think, obviously, he goes off to do it. And, of course, they got food. He felt like it wasn't enough because he was like, let's just go inside of the thing. Basic, like, don't do this kind of thing happens where he goes into the tavern. Obviously, the orcs are going to be in the tavern because they don't like the sun. Also, we see that there's going to be an overcast, so the orcs are going to be more likely to go ahead and run out. Obviously, Theo runs in, and then again, an orc attacks him by no surprise of anyone, right? Because I feel like you knew the plan was for this to happen during the day, right? I don't know why you would assume that the orcs wouldn't have stayed, especially when you saw one that was living under your house in the first two episodes. So Theo isn't really the most brightest of brights, right? He's just not the smartest, but basically we see him get cut in the leg by the orc. The orc tastes new blood. He's ready to thing. We see Theo pulls out the hilt, which I thought was cool. Stabs himself, gets a sword. And now he's on the run, basically, because now it's nighttime. He has to run out so he doesn't get caught, you know. So they're the orcs are looking for him. They do a whole proceed, basically, you know, turn every stone. And I really enjoyed this scene because if you played Shadow of Mordor, you would know like how it is to be in like a stronghold, like an orc stronghold. And it felt very similar to that, like with just the fire and like all of the things that you could hide behind. Like it felt very much like that. So, and the camera angles were perfection. So it felt like you were playing the game. I thought that was really cool. As Theo tries to escape, obviously he gets caught, and then you think he's going to die, but then we have our savior, the savior, Arendir comes in, saves him, obviously because he is in love with his mother. So not that I think that was his idea. I don't know how he got there that fast. I also thought that the whole point was for him to go to the tower, but I think he was going back to the village to make sure that they left. So he ends up there, ends up saving Theo. They end up running through the forest, trying to get to the, you know, open field. We see his Theo's mother show up. We see one of the coolest scenes that you'll see from is the orc shoot an arrow. It almost hits Theo, and Orendir catches it and then shoots it back. And it was just absolutely amazing. Just the slow motion in that scene was used perfectly for a scene like that. I'm not big on when people use slow motion, but when you use it in that way to like really accentuate something that's really cool, I think it makes sense. Sometimes I feel like it's overused. And I mean, even in this series, I felt like sometimes it was overused, just like in this with Galadriel and when she was riding the horse. I felt like that wasn't necessary. I think they wanted to show off all their cool cameras angles, which they did. But I don't feel like the slow motion was necessary in that scene. In this scene, though, definitely feel like it was necessary, because if you do it too fast, I feel like you don't get enough time to appreciate the cool thing that he just did. So putting that in slow motion, to me, made all the sense in the world. It looked cool. They're firing back. They finally make it to the open. And basically, that's when we find out they make it to the tower. Not the tower, but they make it to the, you know, where everyone is. And basically, that's when Orendir basically lets her know that, you know, there's someone, you know, they're going to come here if you guys basically don't surrender. And that was the message that we find out. And then we had another key scene there with Theo and, what's his name? And Waldrig, where they had the conversation about Sauron and basically letting him know, like, have you heard of Sauron? Like, do you know who that is? And like, I bet you've seen it, like when you saw the Starfall. So like, he's basically like an advocate and saying like, we need to stick together because, you know, you've already touched the hilt. You've already done the things. I know you have it. So like, you have to be one of us basically for when Sauron comes. And I thought that was a strong way, obviously, of ending the episode, just because, I mean, that wasn't the ending of the episode, but that was part of the ending of basically saying like, Sauron's always going to be in the mix. And it's going to be that thing that we crave to see, because it's going to be one of, you know, really strong power, like especially towards the beginning here of him just getting his powers and stuff like that, or getting his like becoming. So I think the whole thing behind that is going to be awesome. The episode itself ends with, you know, the queen saying that she is going to go escort Galadriel herself to Middle Earth. So just all of that, basically, I mean, it was a really strong episode four to push where we're going into the story. I did think we would have saw a little bit more, being that, and I mean, I could be wrong, but I did think we were going to see a little bit more just based off of the fact that it was the mid-season finale, because if I'm not mistaken, this is scheduled for 8. So I did think we would have saw a little bit more, but you know what? With the way that we're moving through the story, it's very Lord of the Rings like. And as a Lord of the Rings fan, I understand what the pacing, and I feel like that's very important for a lot of people who do understand that, you know, Lord of the Rings does take a little bit more time. I'm also interested to know what it's going to take before they're like signed on for a season two, or is this going to be like the limited series? Because I'm really interested to know about that information too, because I think that's important on how we view this first season also. Also, we didn't get any stories on the Harfoot, so I'm pretty, and the Stranger, so I'm pretty sure the next episode is going to be dedicated to them, which is a common thing. I mean, they do it in shows where you're where it's ensemble and where you're telling multiple stories. So I think the next episode would be dedicated for them in episode 5, right? Yeah, in episode 5. So yeah, I think we'll see a little bit more. We'll get a little bit more of the story. Maybe we'll get a first sighting. Who knows? But all in all, I've been enjoying doing these. So I'll be back again for you guys next week for episode 5 of this. So please check it out. If you're into any of the other content, we did drop She-Hulk. Chris and I, Allie and I have dropped dropped the House of the Dragon, episode 5 for them. And we'll be dropping the newest one once it comes out on Sunday. So, again, thank you guys for all your support. Thank you for joining me and just listening to me talk about the things that I like to talk about. So guys, if you have any, comments, please leave them down there for me. You know, and if you know how to reach me, please leave me some questions or things like that, or things that you want to hear. Cause I'd love to hear you guys' feedback. So until next time though, I am out. So fire team out.